Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast is brought to you by Homul Casino Resort, the player's place.
All right, sorry about cutting off the wrap-up, but it was a solid weekend for your San Diego Padres. Again, you erase it all going forward, yeah. But plenty of positive signs. Yesterday, just about everybody contributed offensively. You were certainly worried how the Padres would respond after the loss of Ramon Laureano. Offensively, though, a lot of guys looked really good. The biggest game of the weekend
key
was... Key players looked good, which was important. The only really important game was Friday, because the Diamondbacks were still playing for their postseason lives. And the Padres went out and ended their season with a 7-4 win on Friday. Yu Darvish, I guess, he gave up a couple of solo home runs. Got a little bit, I don't want to say lucky, but certainly some mistakes on the base paths. Upended a couple of Diamondbacks rallies against
Yu Darvish.
How do you
remember this? I remember none of this.
You don't remember Friday's game?
Let me refresh my mind here. Darvish came in.
Gave up home runs to Marte and McCarthy in the first three innings.
But one was in the first inning.
And they were down 2-0.
That's right.
Marte in the first, McCarthy in the third. It was 2-0. Had a couple of guys on bases. Remember Xander had the tag at second,
yes,
where he hopped, came off the bag on
yep,
a replay.
That
was an out. Had McCarthy, was trying to stretch for a triple.
Yep.
He got thrown out by 10 feet. So wasn't exactly dominant Yu Darvish, but he kept them in the game. And then the Padres, of course, got the grand slam from Fernando Tatis Jr. to take the lead.
That I do remember.
And rolled to the 7-4 win that ultimately eliminated the Diamondbacks from playoff contention.
What an AB that was as well.
That was one of the really good signs this weekend. Fernando Tatis Jr. seemingly locking in, pulling the ball constantly with power.
Going out to get it.
Loved what we saw. It was the last couple of uses for the bullpen on Friday and Saturday, their last work before they were all kind of given the day off yesterday to get tuned up for the postseason. Mason Miller actually got a 4-out save on Friday. I was surprised by that. Didn't think we'd see that much of Mason Miller, but he got the 4-out save on Friday. Luis Arraez had a 4-hit game on Friday. He'll go into next season, wherever that is, with a 15-game hitting streak because he didn't play yesterday. So lots of good offensive news for the San Diego Padres over the weekend. The two top basket home runs on Saturday from Fernando Tatis Jr. and Xander Bogaerts in the first inning, both extremely positive signs. Of course, Saturday featured the injury to Elias Diaz.
That was insane, by the way. They both went up top deck of the Western Metal Supply to the exact same group of people.
Crazy.
That was wild.
Yeah, the guy got both. Sweet or wherever they were, they got both. That was incredible.
The concern on Saturday, of course, was the injury to Elias Diaz as he came out with a bit of an oblique injury after homering in the second inning, left the game in the fourth inning. And now his status remains pretty up in the air. He said he was feeling a little bit better, but they had Luis Camposano with the team traveling to Chicago. They also have Martin Maldonado available in the organization if they need someone to replace Elias Diaz on the roster as a second catcher. So those are the two possibilities. You'd figure, though, the workload is going to be heavily on Freddie Fermin in the postseason either way. But Diaz was expected to start tomorrow in Game 1 because he has caught all of Nick Pivetta's starts this year, which will make things a little interesting. If he doesn't go, Freddie Fermin is certainly capable, but he has not worked with Nick Pivetta all season long. It would be their first time together paired as a battery, and it would come in Game 1 of a wild card series, so not ideal.
Just let Diaz call the pitches then. Literally, from the bench, just work the pitch calm and call the pitches.
Fine by me.
How hard is that? It's not.
I don't know.
Not hard at all. Not even little. Let him call the pitch. Yeah. I mean, you could signal, like you have signals, right, and let him call every pitch if he has to. He knows Nick Pavetta.
You have the same feeling, though. If you're not right there, you're not reading the swings, you're not in the heat of the moment.
He's right there. He's
in the dugout.
He's right there. He's not 1 foot away, but he's right there. He knows who's out there. He knows what he wants to do.
Plenty of good camera angles for what's working, bro, what's not.
If those dudes weren't sitting next to each other on the plane ride out with a notepad and a pen and paper, I'd be really surprised. I really would be. Yeah, I think, you know, it was a weird thing. Like, I didn't know what happened. I walked out of the room. I came back and Bo goes, something happened to Tatis. And I'm like, I almost threw up. And I rewound. I go, Diaz. He goes, oh. I'm like, were you paying attention at all? And I was like, it's Diaz. So he takes the 0-2 and then he just walks away in the middle of his AB. I'm like, what happened? And then, so if you walk out of an AB and then the next day you're like, I'm good. What? Like, you can't be.
Well, he swung and certainly tweaked something on the first swing.
So he's like, I'm not swinging again.
Said, I'm staying in, then took a check swing and goes, no, I'm not staying in. That did not feel good, so came out of the game.
So then you wonder, too, like, let's say he feels better tomorrow. Can he throw? You know what I mean? Like, if it's an oblique, swinging is one thing. Can he throw, or are they just going to
go put him through a battery of tests. They don't have to make a decision until tomorrow morning on their wild card roster. So I would imagine they'll take every moment that they can to allow him to heal and then put him through those tests before they make the final decision.
You know, and it's one of those injuries where I think you look, you go, oh, I mean, it's just a backup catcher. But then, it all starts to hit you. Oh, no, that's Nicky P, game one starter's personal catcher. Diaz has actually been swinging the bat okay lately, like he's run into some
Four home runs in his last 8 starts.
Yeah, so you're like, oh, this actually feels like a fairly big loss. How many Padres playoff runs have we seen where a catcher has to catch every inning and nobody felt comfortable with the backup and the guys just ground to the nub after 5 games straight of catching and playing every inning? We've seen this too much. And so it is actually, if he doesn't come back, it's a, you know, again, it's not Ramon Laureano, but it's a pretty sizable loss.
Michael King made his final start on Saturday, only went 49 pitches, which was per the plan. Going into the game, 2 2/3, just gave up 1 hit, did walk a couple, though, did not quite have his command, but did have some good swing and miss stuff. I mean, he's slowly making progress. I don't know that he's where you'd like him to be going into the postseason, and it really looks like Michael King will probably start the playoffs in the bullpen in the wild card series of the Padres. Based on everything we're hearing, I'm thinking it's going to be Nick Pavetta tomorrow, and the Padres have announced that, so that's official.
It's official.
They have not announced a Game 2 or Game 3 starter. Mike Schilt said they would announce starters. They're not going to leave it up in the air. And I would
announce
now be...
before or after before
even
result.
Before even today, they're going to announce it, I believe. Before the game, at least tomorrow. And I do believe it's going to be Dylan Cease in Game 2
and Yu
Darvish.
Would that change
things
for you if you were managing how Game 1 goes? Does that change anything in your plan for Game 2?
Yeah.
I mean, I think the bullpen is going to be aggressively used no matter what.
True.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't think they're going to change the starters. I think it's going to be Dylan Cease in Game 2, and they are going to be counting on the fact that he has really good numbers against the Cubs in his last 3 meetings against them. They're also going to have a very short leash and keep a very close eye on Dylan Cease and be ready to go to that bullpen at a moment's notice. And then if it does go to a Game 3...
You almost need to start with somebody warming up.
It
spirals that fast, though, with him.
I think it's going to be Yu Darvish in Game 3.
I was a little tongue-in-cheek there. But
yeah, you know, you have to be ready.
Second, third inning.
Yeah, you got to be ready.
You'd be very ready. Michael King would be available out of the bullpen. If they don't end up using him, I wouldn't be surprised if Michael King got the start in Game 1 of the Division Series against the Milwaukee Brewers. If they do use him out of the bullpen, then you'll have Randy Vasquez available for Game 1 of the Division Series on Saturday if you get that far against the Milwaukee Brewers. None of that has been officially announced by the Padres, but that does seem like the direction we're heading. Pavetta, Cease, Darvish, King in the bullpen, and then King and Vasquez in reserve potentially for Game 1 of a Division Series.
I understand it. I understand it. I really do. I understand it. And I said last week, I was, you know, pretty encouraged
by... Understand it.
That I understand that decision.
Going with Cease?
Mm-hmm. I do. I do. And I said on the roundtable last week, Paulie, he's my wild card. He's my wild card. In this case, literally and figuratively, he's my wild card.
Yeah.
And again, I've fallen in love with Dylan Cease's stuff. And the stuff has remained. The stuff has never wavered. It's always been there. It's just going to be, can you literally piece your brain together to execute pitches for five innings? Four, five, whatever. Can you do it? Can he do it? I think he can. He was kind of my X factor in this series, and I'm gonna ride with it, man. I have no choice but to at this point. And a locked in Dylan Cease for four innings is pretty much better than anybody else. Any other option, you know, he's going to be throwing 100. He's going to be throwing a nasty slider. We're going to talk to Jesse Rogers later. I want to ask him kind of what the I saw it on Twitter, so I don't want to verify it, but I'm going to ask him. I've heard, you know, velo is an issue for the Chicago Cubs, right? One thing Dylan Cease is in no short supply of is velocity. He throws the ball extremely hard. He has all year. Command suffers. But we'll see. We'll see what happens, man. I'm going to really, really try to get my mind around it and support and be very excited for it.
So we will find out from Mike Schilt probably today. He's going to have a press conference this afternoon. They will certainly have that for you on the Braden's Apprentice Show and on Gwynn and Chris later today. And any news on the pitching rotation, I will pass it along to you as soon as we've got it. Some news to pass along right now from Dennis Lynn. Just tweeted, with Elias Diaz's status for tomorrow still unclear, Martin Maldonado is expected to rejoin the Padres in Chicago as additional insurance. Luis Camposano traveled with the team yesterday. Nick Pivetta has thrown all but one-third of an inning this season to Diaz. So that's the
one
latest
third of an inning
has been with Elias Diaz behind the plate.
Okay, let's ride. No excuses, man.
I wonder how they're going to decide who
they. Mike Schilt is scheduled to talk at noon Pacific today.
Could both Camposano and Maldonado make the roster? Maldonado just to catch, essentially, if they needed it. Campy more as a right-handed
pinch hitter
off the bench.
Yeah.
I mean, they do not trust Campy to catch. They did not let him catch one out this season for the San Diego Padres. I can't imagine they'd let him catch in the playoffs. So you might need both Fermin, a backup catcher, and a hitter from the right side with Laureano out. So it's possible both guys are on the wild card roster.
Who you leave off? Will Wagner?
Probably.
Yeah. McCoy?
You've got enough left-handed hitters.
Yeah.
Although you don't have anyone off the bench. If you're starting both Sheets and O'Hearn and Arise, and they're all probably going to start, I guess you have Bryce Johnson as your lefty off the bench because he is, of
switch
course,
hitter,
a switch hitter.
As everybody knows and has always known that Bryce Johnson is a switch hitter. Everybody.
But you are, you'll be a little more vulnerable to the righties. But
well, I mean, look, and I said this, you know, Chris Garcia in the chat just says, remind me of Campy's batting average this year. It's 0.00.
All-star on AAA All-Star, though, was named this week, last week.
Wouldn't it not be the most baseball thing on the planet for him to get his first knock of the year? Like, we've seen this script before, guys. This, like, you couldn't even be surprised. I hope that that's the case. I think that would be incredible. But I think, you know, him having at least a guy with pop off the bench, we haven't seen the pop at the big league level this year, but he does have power. We know that. He hit how many homers in AAA this year? He was unbelievable. So I'm fine with that option. I think that's great. Yeah, give him a couple ABs off a lefty. But as far as the catching thing goes, man, Freddie Fermin, they went out and they traded some really nice depth pieces for you. This is your time to shine, and this is your time. He's thrown out runners. Like, I'm confident with him back there. It's not about me, though. It's about Nick Pivetta. Is Nick Pivetta confident with Freddie Fermin back there? Because it does make a difference.
But if Diaz can't go,
he can't go. Right?
You don't have any other options, buddy.
That's the thing. Like, you got to.
I highly doubt he'd be more comfortable with Camposano, who hasn't caught an inning all season.
If you're not comfortable, you better get comfortable right now.
But you need a backup catcher.
Correct.
I mean, if Freddie Fermin gets hurt, you have to have someone who can catch.
Correct.
On your roster, even if you're not planning to use
Darvish brought play. Alfaro with him. That was his guy.
No, it was Caratini.
Caratini. And then Caratini wasn't on the team anymore, and here's Darvish still pitching.
I understand
preferences, but
you adjust. It's a playoff.
That cannot be an excuse. That cannot be an excuse.
Padres are in. Not everybody made it, though, the final weekend, including the New York Mets. And their broadcasters got a little unhinged about it. We'll get to that in Don't Do This coming up next. Plus, just a disastrous Ryder Cup, both on the golf course and off the golf course for Team USA. Enough to rise to Don't Do This status. We'll get to all of that coming up next year with Bennett Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Yeah, but one thing in the Woods house that we'll be in, and we're not going to be running out of, is our Eco Water. I will be pounding it during these games, probably the next morning too, because I'll probably have a few cocktails during these games. Eco Water really coming in handy for us, as it always does. We've got it here in the office as well. One of the most practical upgrades I've ever made for my family. They were the first with remote monitoring, the first with Wi-Fi and leak detection, and the first with whole home automatic cutoffs that can stop a leak before it becomes a disaster. That's not just innovation, that's protection you can see and control. And again, all that is great, fine and dandy. I love the technology, but I really, really enjoy the taste and the feel of Eco Water on our skin, in our hair. I feel very confident. You know, when our pets drink it, our kids drink it, that's the most important thing to me. Their reverse osmosis system gives you bottled quality water straight from the tap. You add the alkaline filters, your hydration is next level. So try the Soft Life and alkaline water now, just $9.95 a month, 760-350-3338, or visit EcoWaterSoCal.com. Let them know Woodsy sent you. Not everything in life should be hard, especially your water. Keeping it soft since 1925.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Don't do this.
It's time for Don't Do This.
What were you thinking?
Three stories from the world of sports that make us all shake our heads.
Why?
How many times do I have to tell you?
Ugh, I'm sorry, I fudged up, guys.
You idiot. You moron.
You dumbass.
The apple sometimes does far fall from the tree.
Don't do this.
Do not tweet that.
With Ben and Woods.
I like a Nickelback song or two.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Don't Do This brought to you by Trust and Will.
Don't.
Leave your entire estate, house, kids, and life savings up to chance if and when you die.
Do.
Set up a Trust or Will online at trustandwill.com.
This
is a lot more affordable than you think. Visit trustandwill.com for more info. Woods, have you ever looked forward to something for 12 years? It's almost impossible. I mean, think about that. Like, boy, when you're 9, how cool is it going to be when I turn 21 and get to have my first drink? It's tough to look forward to something for 12 years.
It's like 4 is the max.
It's
I think four.
I mean, that is a long way off.
Yeah.
But as soon as the Ryder Cup was named to be going to Bethpage Black, and they made that announcement back in 2013, that in 2025, they're going to have a Ryder Cup at Bethpage Black, people already started getting excited. Like, this is going to be the greatest Ryder Cup ever, with the New York fans and the atmosphere and that course, how hard it is. People really did look forward to it for 12 years. Not constantly, but certainly there was buzz about it.
Sure.
for more than a decade. And I was pretty excited about it as well. I don't know that it could have gone any worse than this weekend's Ryder Cup on so many levels. First of all, let me start with the fact that they neutered the course completely.
Completely.
Bethpage Black, known as one of the toughest public courses in America, they shaved down all the rough until it was completely harmless.
You like it shaved or unshaved?
I like it unshaved when it comes to Bethpage Black.
Okay.
Didn't give you that drop clean on purpose.
You think
he
that,
can maneuver it? It's fine.
He did just fine.
Yeah, I was looking forward to seeing those guys like struggle and battle. I wanted to see bogeys win holes occasionally because you were lost in the hay. But no, there was absolutely nothing. It was nothing but birdies.
Grip and rip.
Grip and rip. Nothing but birdies.
Why'd they do that?
I don't know. I assume Keegan Bradley, the captain, thought it might be an advantage to his team. Like Bryson DeChambeau, the big bombers, just let it get out there without any worries. But certainly backfired the first 2 days when the United States played. They didn't actually play bad. Europe played so well that they completely made it an afterthought by the time they got to the Sunday singles. But that wasn't even what gets the don't do this. The crowds that were supposed to be the heart of this Ryder Cup were both so bad and so bad at the same time. They were obnoxious when they shouldn't have been obnoxious, throwing drinks at Rory and his wife.
Yeah, well, it was a
screaming during their backswings, not letting them get ready for shots.
The Rory thing, one guy was holding a drink up, and another guy came up and
punched it out of
his hand, and it hit Rory's wife. And it just buffoonery, just straight up buffoonery.
But when they were supposed to be enthusiastic, they needed these. It's just really sad, like guys that were paid to
teach them cheers.
And the audio was so cringy.
It was so bad.
Only like minute that I watched of the Ryder Cup. I told you I don't watch golf on TV. I was like, what is happening here? Is this like forced participation?
Forced fun. No one loves forced
fun. This is
fun.
One of the cringiest things I've ever seen in sports.
Okay.
I want to die. I want to crawl in a hole and die.
The New Yorkers are not having any of it.
All right. Hold on.
Oh, my God. So who are these guys, the forefathers?
We're going to try this one more time.
No, please don't.
If it doesn't work, we'll do a
DeChambeau
one.
A DeChambeau?
We want the whole crowd rocking.
Freudian slip.
When you stamp it on the bleachers.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
Ready? One more time. Start up. 1, 2.
Oh my God.
Scotty Shepherd.
Stop. It's so
stop.
Bad.
It is so cringy.
Then they had the F Rory. Like it was stupid.
And, a comedian, a woman who was like paid to be there by the PGA. She got into it. They let her go because of it. It was just an embarrassment all around. And nearly featured the greatest comeback in the history of the Ryder Cup yesterday. They actually made it interesting. Team USA only lost one singles match yesterday.
Crazy,
but
dude.
Europe tied enough and got an injury tie out of Victor Hovland to just squeak out the 15-13 win to keep the Ryder Cup. So it actually did get kind of interesting for a little bit yesterday. But Shane Lowry made the putt to secure the Ryder Cup, staying with Europe and celebrating
see him
all
after
over
the
18th.
I mean, he goes, it's the coolest thing that's ever happened.
I love Shane Lowry. He's
I
great.
I do, too. Like, I love all those guys.
Some of my favorite players were Team Europe.
There's no question. Our team was completely unlikable, so douchey.
Tommy Fleetwood's great.
Tommy Fleetwood is the GOAT.
So great.
Our team is so... Like, Scottie Scheffler doesn't win a point.
He won yesterday but
one,
lost
what,
all
went,
four
half,
of his first
half point,
four
one,
matches,
one point.
And then won. Yes, he beat Rory, one up, and a solid clutch performance to win yesterday. But you can't win when your number one player goes 1-4.
I mean, dude, it was Paulie. Look, golf chirpiness is different than baseball, football, hockey, right? But golf chirpiness is elite. Justin Rose. And his caddy going after Bryson DeChambeau
on Saturday.
Oh my God.
Justin Rose.
Shot, shot. Okay, let's try it different. Xander Schauffele. It was amazing. Dude.
Xander and Spahn won their match. So the San Diego State guys actually had the best probably Ryder Cups of just about anybody on the American side, at least.
It was so awesome.
Let's just admit it.
It was
they're
so
better
good.
Than us.
They're way better,
they're better
than us.
They're better than us.
You know what? I tweeted it yesterday. You know how the SEC is? It just means more. They should sell that to Team Europe because that should be their tagline because it just means more to them. It just does. And until that changes,
they own us.
They own it. They absolutely own us. It was awesome. What a performance, though. I mean, what a performance.
Rumor is that Tiger will be the captain in 2 years when it goes to Ireland to try to turn things around.
Imagine playing for him.
Yeah. We'll see.
Crazy. All right, so we will do this. I was yesterday, saw the Mets, you know, lose to the Miami Marlins, and I went, oh, dude, this is crazy. All the money that they spent, all the talent that they had on that team to not even make it into an expanded playoffs. I actually tweeted first. I said, I don't like the Mets. I said, I can't even really let myself enjoy this because I've been there. We've been there.
38-55 to end the season and missed the playoffs by one game.
And I said, I can't really take delight in this because as a sports fan, we've been there. As Padres fans, you know what a collapse is like. You know what it's like to never even get going with a really uber talented team and not make the playoffs. 23 was the most embarrassing thing I've ever seen, to have that team and not make the playoffs. But then, 30 seconds later, this audio came out, and I went, you know what? F the Mets. Listen to their booth.
It was like post-game?
Post-game.
Ron Darling,
Gary Cohen
in the booth.
Keith Hernandez.
I'm watching the Marlins. They just took a team picture in front of their dugout like they're going to the postseason.
Well, this was their World Series. Oh, yep. They took two out of three, knocked the Mets out of the postseason. We saw the Reds celebrating in Milwaukee.
Gary, it should have been your World Series. It should have been your World Series. And by the way, I found this out too. The Marlins take a team photo in front of their dugout after every win. Every time they win a baseball game, they go out and they take a team photo.
And even if they didn't, understand a team, even the Rockies,
knocking a division rival out of the playoffs, a team that spent all that money. And you're at the bottom of the barrel as far as
they
dollars
actually, with
spent.
Nothing to play for, rose up and did something to help the Cincinnati Reds get into the playoffs.
It should have been it's their World Series bit. You should have treated it like your World Series.
I saw somebody. No, their World Series is the two they've won since the Mets last one won 38 years ago.
Oh, my God, Ben. Oh, that is so deep. It cuts.
This was their World Series. Oh, yep, they took two out of three.
It reeks of the Joe Davis, Oral Hershiser, canceled the parade and all that bit. That's why they play the games. It just rubs me the wrong way. Like, hey, you're pissed. I get it. Not the Marlins' fault. Go beat the Marlins and you're in the playoffs.
And because they lost, that did get the Reds into the postseason because the Reds also lost. The Mets had it right in front of them.
Right in front of them.
All they had to do is win. They were in
the
playoffs.
Beat the Marlins. You're in.
But the Reds lost to the Brewers 4-2. But thanks to the Marlins beating the Mets, they clinched in Milwaukee on the final day of the season with a loss. Now, our doo-doo this, Pauly.
D-D mega doo-doo.
That was awesome.
After the game, the Milwaukee Brewers, even for a division rival that they had just beaten in the last game of the season, decided to be good sports and help them out with their celebration, putting a little congratulations, clinched, big screen so they could go out on the field, take their picture, and celebrate in Milwaukee at American Family Field for the Cincinnati Reds. Pretty classy moment by the Milwaukee Brewers.
One of the cooler things I've seen. And the Reds were so surprised.
The stadium looks completely empty.
Yeah.
So the game's been over.
They're drinking.
They've done the champagne popping. They've got their t-shirts on. You go out to the mound in the empty stadium, take a team photo. I don't think in Milwaukee they were expecting to turn around and look at the jumbo screen and see a red clinched graphic that clearly the Reds team had prepared, and the Brewers said, you know what, we will do that. That's a division opponent. It'd be like if the Padres had clinched a first round bye. You know, they're cruising, they don't care about last weekend's games, and the Diamondbacks, hey, got in. And you put a congrats D-backs or whatever, a clinched graphic. I don't know. I thought that was really cool. You don't see that too often.
You don't. And you could tell from the Reds' reaction. They were like, yes,
yeah.
Thank you.
They're like pointing up to the control
thank you.
Room.
I thought it was so cool. I knew it was going to come. We planned for this. People in the chat like, what about Mud? What about Mud in his 30 years? And I said, we cannot do Mudley and do this today because we only have 10 seconds
to do. Schedule.
We're already behind schedule. Coming up in the Rindo Report, we're going to get into the Mudcat. I was in tears watching that on Saturday night, and I texted Mudley, got a really nice text back from him. It was very special. So we needed more time to dedicate to it, and we are going to do that in the Rindo Report today.
That was Don't and Do This for a Monday.
that was Don't Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
By the way, the Brewers can afford to be classy when they finished with the best record in Major League Baseball at
97-65.
How about that? No one had that on their bingo card at the beginning of the season. The Brewers with the best record in all of baseball this season at 97-65.
Just like we all drew it.
Yeah. All right, we'll come back. Craig Elston, I'm sure he'll have some thoughts on the Padres-Cubs matchup, a pre-playoff visit for the Padres Hot Tub Podcast host, and our friend. We'll also talk about SDFC's disappointing another home loss.
Oh, what is
this
happening?
Team is hot, except at home, where they can't win right now. Get to all of that coming up next on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3, The Fan. First, though, I have to remind everybody, September is coming to an end tomorrow, which means the $200 special at SDFatLoss.com is coming to an end tomorrow. This is the time. Make that decision to change your life like I did 2 years ago and lose up to a pound of fat per day and 10 to 20% of your body weight in just 60 days simply by following the strategies, the doctor-developed strategies, and your counselor who's going to coach you all the way through with SDFatLoss.com. It's based on real foods from the grocery store or even your favorite restaurant. They'll teach you how to become a fat-burning machine at SDFatLoss.com with no injection and no exercise necessary. You're not buying any bars or shakes. You're simply eating real foods and losing weight fast. I did it. I lost 40 pounds in 60 days. You can do it as well. It changes your life. And if you do it now, you'll be, by the end of November, by the time you know the holidays roll around, you'll be a new you. Doesn't that sound great? But take advantage right now by setting up a free consultation at SDFatLoss.com. Do it in the next couple of days and still get that $200 off special before September comes to a close. What are you waiting for? I mean, wouldn't it be nice to have no New Year's resolutions because you've already lost the weight? You can do that if you start now by going to SDFatLoss.com. That's SDFatLoss.com. Results may vary.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Dodgers have announced their rotation for the wild card series against the Reds. It'll be Blake Snell in Game 1 tomorrow, Yoshinobu Yamamoto in Game 2, and then Shohei Ohtani in Game 3 if necessary. If they sweep, Ohtani would start Game 1 of the division series against the Phillies. But no Clayton Kershaw on the roster and no Tyler Glasnow in their rotation for the wild card series against the Cincinnati Reds.
I mean, leaving Kershaw off your roster, they really want to win. They're really going for it.
Still waiting to hear on the Cubs.
Fool me once, shame on me. On me six times.
Yeah, still waiting to hear on the Cubs pitching situation against the Padres. We do know Cade Horton is unavailable.
Yeah, that was a weird injury. Did
really
you hear about
severe
that?
Cough.
So somebody posted a picture of him in their celebration, blasted a big cigar, and they're like, did this dude choke on a cigar and start coughing really badly and break a rib? He broke his rib from coughing.
Yeah.
Ever smoke a cigar if you're not smoking cigars very often?
I would never smoke a cigar again, I don't think, ever. I did buy my playoff pack yesterday, though. Sits in the drawer for when I need it. My playoff pack. Fresh six.
Jesse Rogers will join us in an hour. If anyone has any insight on the Cubs pitching situation, it'll be Jesse. So we'll talk to him in an hour and see what is up. But right now, Craig Elston standing by for his weekly chat. We got a lot to get to coming up after traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. Joining us right now, the Padres Hot Tub Podcast host and Cro-Maniacs host, Craig Elston, with us for his regular Monday feature here on 97.3 The Fan. Good morning, Craig.
Morning, fellas. How are you?
Doing good.
Stressed, though. It's playoff time.
It's
so.
Playoff time, but Craig, I want to talk about Task on HBO.
Oh, yes. I've watched the first two episodes.
Dude, it's grim.
It is grim.
I could do an hour on it. It's real. I think Tom Pelphrey has perhaps the greatest Philly accent that I have ever heard in my whole entire life. It is a brilliant
show.
Drive
out to the ocean.
Let's go to the ocean. It's unbelievable. It's so good. You recommend
water ice.
It. Yeah, water ice.
They threw a water ice and Scrapple in like the first 30 seconds of dialogue. I'm like, all right, we get it. It's Philly. I get it.
I love it. It's good. Everyone should watch Task. And we can move on to...
Not if you want to be uplifted at all. At least
no, it's
season.
Very dark and
it's a good
scary.
Drama. It's a really good
is
drama.
It, just real quick, is it? I watched the trailer and I watched the first episode, I think started the second episode. Is it safe to say like a Philly version of Sons of Anarchy?
Yeah.
Kind of?
Yeah, some of that.
Mixed with heat.
Yeah.
I watched the trailer. I was like, I'm all the way
it's
in.
It's really good. All right, everyone watch Task. The music in it is spectacular.
But I got to go one episode at a time.
Our first task, though, is the Padres in the playoffs, Craig, starting tomorrow in Chicago. A good solid end to the regular season, but as we've been warning everybody, you can't take anything bad from the regular season into the playoffs, but you also can't take anything good. It's a brand new season starting tomorrow.
Well, it certainly is. And as such, I guess we could go back and do one thing, which is a tip of the cap to Mr. 90 Wins.
Yes, sir. I did it in the open. Yeah.
Yeah, of course. Mean, honestly, if we are going to do predictions again next year. Anyone who falls short of 90 is basically just putting it in Mike Schilt's face going, not this year, pal. You know, I mean, my goodness, that's really something. And I didn't think he was going to get there when he needed a 5-1, you know, out of the homestand and still pulled it out. Really remarkable. 90 wins is a great sign for a team. And I remember back, I'm going to say it when we record our Padres Hot Tub later this afternoon, I think it was like the third week of the season that I said on the show, my expectation is 90 wins now. You know, we had said 85 coming into the year. They got off to that hot start. I said, you gotta cash this in. And 90 wins is the way you cash it in. And they did it. So congratulations, San Diego Padres. Really good regular season. The consistency of this franchise is great. And now, into the crapshoot we go.
Into the crapshoot we go. Craig, what do you... I'm sure you guys have... Divin? We've already done this. Dove in already, or go Divin? Dovin?
Dived in.
Dived in.
It's not a word. Divin is not a word.
Into, you know, what exactly the San Diego Padres are up against. Now, you know that they can score. You know the Cubs can score. You know that their starters have pitched well against the Padres. Again, everybody's numbers go out the window. But what are you looking at going, all right, this has got me panicked, or this has got me feeling a little hopeful?
Let's start with hopeful, because I like to start with hopeful.
I like that.
The Padres have the best individual talents on the field. Their superstars are bigger stars than the Cubs superstars. So while I do believe there are a number of levers that point in the Cubs' direction when you analyze this series and break it down, the guys who can smash those levers to bits are Tatis, Machado, Bogarts. Those guys have the ability to break expectations, and Fernando in particular. When he's hot, he can beat anybody. And the way he swung the last week made you remember how he swung the bat the first week of the postseason last year. It was pretty similar. If he does that, the Padres can beat anybody, including Philly, L.A., anybody. So that's on the on the real plus side. And of course, you've got me.
Whoa.
Just froze instantly.
Still talking though.
He's in the middle of a thought.
Everything
now it's frozen. Froze. Okay.
Right in the middle of a thought, and he froze completely. All right,
I think he was going to say Mason Miller. I think he was going to say.
Well, I think as you break down, as he said, the Padres have the bigger superstars. The Cubs have the deeper lineup.
Yep.
Probably than the Padres. The Cubs.
Right-handed.
There we go. We lost you.
We lost you. You came back. Are you still there? Hello, Craig.
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
I believe you were going to say.
It just completely froze out for 2 minutes.
I think you were going to say something about Mason Miller, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, he's one of the pluses, right? He's a unicorn. He's a guy who can shut down anybody. So our top end talent is where it's at. I think the weaknesses, guys, the Cubs really match up well against the Padres with Imanaga and Boyd, and then you've got Pomeranz, Thielbar, and Rogers. I'd say it's pretty likely the Padres only see a right-handed pitcher of any kind if they are either leading big or it's literally the ninth inning and it's Palencia in the game. Short of that, they're only going to see left-handed pitching until game three, and they're going to start probably five left-handed starters in the lineup against lefties who are really good at shutting down lefties. So, you know, as much as we like how Gavin Sheets and Ryan O'Hearn have hung in there, Arise, Cronenworth, these are all guys who can hang in there against lefties. There's no doubt about it. When you put them all in the lineup, especially when you have five, in the lineup, that means Imanaga always knows any right-hander that's up, there's a lefty that's following.
Yep.
So I don't have to give Tatis a pitch. I don't have to give Machado a pitch. I can just wait and take my chances with the left-hander that's still to come. So that I don't like. And the way the Padres starting pitching is going is very scary against a left-handed power Cubs lineup.
I do think that the swings we saw this weekend from Tatis, Bogarts, Machado, you know, the Padres should be good against left-handers. That's the thing. We've always thought they should be a pretty good team against left-handers. They've never really done that this season. Is it possible, though, that they're finally maybe coming into the right frame of mind to have that success, Craig, against lefties that we always thought they would have?
You've got so many left-handed bats. Nobody does this. Nobody does this. People start one or two left-handed bats against elite left-handed starters. We're going to start five all playoff. Like, because they're never going to start, you know, Campy, you know, so we're in a tough spot there. What we need is for the Padres just to hit through it, to be perfectly honest, is for them to hit through it, you know, and then that brings me to the second thing, which is I don't love the matchup of Nick Pivetta at Wrigley Field.
Yeah,
I just don't. Fly balls. He didn't pitch well there earlier this season. It was cold at that time. But old numbers really don't matter. It's the matchup. And I say that specifically because the Padres are leaning on a very old number to justify starting Dylan Cease, which is how he pitched last April at Wrigley Field.
Is it because of that, or is it because Yu Darvish's command is shaky? Michael King, Dylan Cease can very much have shaky command. That can't be the only reason, right? Going back to April of last year, like, he's my X factor. If he pitches well, sky's the limit for this team. That's kind of how I feel, Craiger.
Well, I agree. Look, I don't trust Dylan Cease. Dylan Cease needs to do something in the playoffs he's literally never done in his life to date, which is pitch well. And he's pitched poorly in literally every postseason start of his career. Not one of them was good. So maybe he's due. Old numbers don't matter. But how Dylan Cease pitches is going to matter. And the one thing, guys, I was thinking about this walking the dog listening to you guys. Like, I wish the Padres did original things. And they only do it every once in a million years. But I would 100% start Wandy Peralta in game two. I would start Wandy Peralta. Yeah. Why? Because the lineup goes Bush, Horner, Happ, Tucker, Suzuki. So why am I going to give all those left-handed bats a fresh look at Dylan and then a second look at Dylan in the third or fourth inning? It's the second time around that Dylan Cease gets killed. So what if we threw Wandy out there against those lefties at the top of the order? Council's not going to change his lineup. He knows it's an opener. So you get a good matchup through the first five hitters, then you bring in Dylan Cease.
Yeah, it's not a bad idea.
They did it once against the Dodgers. Yeah. It's not out of the question.
They did it once. I'd like to see them do it again, and I think it would make sense strategically to be able to get you to the fifth or sixth inning, because if they just say, Dylan, go out there, do the best you can, we're counting on you the second and third time through, I've got a really bad feeling that we're going to be looking at us down multiple runs and Schilte taking the ball from him. So it's just one of those thoughts that I have to do something a little original, and I wish they would.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how it shakes out. We only have a couple minutes left, Craig. I hate to have taken up your time talking about SDFC.
All right, just go.
Yeah, pretty frustrating loss, 1-0 the other night at home. Your level of concern about SDFC kind of, I don't know, limping in to the playoffs right now.
I mean, they dominated again.
They
just didn't score. I went on Friday to the Academy opening. I mean, vibes could not have been better. Yeah. With everybody there supporting SDFC, I was expecting a huge win on Saturday night, and it just didn't happen again for them, Craig. Something at Snapdragon Stadium just, I don't know, it's just in the air right now at home.
Guys, between Wave and SDFC, I have watched the same soccer match at Snapdragon Stadium for four straight months. Possession, passing, hold the ball, dominate, miss your chances, don't take your chances. One goal goes against the run of play on a counterattack. Now you're trailing, now you're pressing, now the other team sits in a low block, and you can't break it. Both teams are in the exact same spot. For Wave, it's just a systemic breakdown. For SDFC, I keep pointing at center forward. I'm so sorry. But teams have learned how to bracket Dreyer and Lozano and to keep two dudes on them when they're running around on the wing. And that means your center forward has to be open. And Ahmad Pellegrino just hasn't done the job since he's been picked up. I'd like to see them switch back to Corey Baird or maybe put Vallecari up there. But honestly, without Ingvardsson, they just don't have that center pole that they can lean the rest of the attack on. And other teams are, as such, defusing SDFC's attack.
Two more road games, and then they are going to the playoffs, and they will host their first playoff series, which it's almost kind of makes you nervous that they can't we just go on the road and just play there. But
Craig, what's the baseball equivalent? I feel like the SDFC clinched a playoff spot like 4 months ago. Like, this would be like clinching a playoff spot in like mid-August in baseball. It feels like they've played 8 games since they clinched a playoff spot.
No, you're not kidding. And could there be a little bit of coast in there? I mean, I don't know. Maybe. It's a really long season.
It is.
And SDFC doesn't have a second team. And I think that's really important to keep in mind. They don't have the depth that other MLS teams do, that they can call up guys from their second team in USL Championship or MLS Next. So as a result, those veteran players have been just bagging minutes. Almost all of the SDFC's players are on career highs for minutes played. So another thing to keep in mind, it's been an incredible season. Can they find that finishing kick to take it up another notch in the playoffs? We'll find out in a couple of weeks.
Hard to believe. Next Monday when we talk to you, it'll either be before game 2 of the NLDS against the Brewers, or the season will be at least 4 or 5 days over at that point. I know which one we're all hoping for. Thank you, Craig.
Yeah, let's go.
Great stuff from Craig Elston. I want to remind everybody before we get to the top of the hour, you can join us, Braden, Gwen, and Chris for a postseason watch party at Park 101 in Carlsbad on Wednesday for game 2 of the series. Park 101, bi-level sports bar, roof deck, huge screens, all brought to you by Estrella Jalisco Light Mexican Lager, again this Wednesday in the Carlsbad Village at Park 101. We'll see you out there. We'll come back, reset our show coming up next with Ben Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly outside of Cleveland, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.